Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for these 2 weeks. Oh, we're just so blessed, and it's thrilling in your word, in your covenants of promise. And we take it and we receive it in the name of Jesus, and we give all of the glory to that matchless name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now then, class, in this Shemitah year, let's go back to what the Lord said, it dropped into my spirit very plainly. Back, midway of last year. Mm-hmm. That the more I prayed about it, the more I looked at it, the year of correction, then direction, then protection, then perfection. Now, to clear something up here.
Yes, sir.
In the 17th chapter of Genesis, God said, live and be perfect before me, perfection. Actually, it reads in the New Living Testament, faithfully and blameless. Stay faithful to this covenant and blameless. And one thing that comes to me, you don't blame God for anything.
No.
He's not the problem. No, never. And so, let's just briefly go through these.
Okay.
They are in the order in which the Lord reminded me of them. Correction. Well, Proverbs 3:11. Now, in Old English, sometimes correction is used, sometimes it's chastisement. Well, people think that's just awful and terrible. No, it's just simply discipline, teaching, training. Mm-hmm. Now, remember now, the word disciple and the word discipline are the same word.
That's right.
Now, A.W. Copeland, Aubrey Wayne Copeland, my dad, disciplined me. And after a while, I became his disciple. I figured out how much he actually knew and how much he learned from the time I was about 14 till I was about 25, 30 years old. Amen.
Amen.
And that's when I began to step over into the blessing of the Lord.
Right.
But, Greg, I knew no church background.
Because you got yielded.
Yes.
To correction.
Neither did Gloria.
Right.
I was surprised that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told the same story. I knew there was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that talked about Jesus and all that, but I'd never read it. So I was really born free from all that.
Right.
Now, listen to what this says in Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening or the instructions of the Lord, neither be weary of correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. How do you find that out? You don't get to the wisdom until you're willing to be corrected. Very good?
That's good.
So, and being a pilot, I likened it to this. Flying a trip from A to B is a constant series of corrections, so that you don't get off course. And, of course, today with GPS, Global Positioning Satellite, it's not as difficult as it used to be. Back when I learned how to fly, and for many years after that, we didn't have the advantage of that. It started out as military only. Right. But anyway, so stay on course. Whatever the Lord is dealing with you on, and you know where you're going, stay on course. Now, If you're not sure what the course is, don't start doing like this to find it. You'll get lost. Stay right where you are and seek correction and wisdom. Then make your correction and listen to your controller, the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. And He's always working at bumping you back into His will. Amen.
Amen.
But listen to this. A 200-mile-an-hour airplane flies for 4 hours. 800 miles. But he never did correct his course. And he's only 10 degrees off. Now, a 200-mile-an-hour airplane means it's a piston-engine airplane. And 4 hours, now, Greg, you're out at the end of his range. He doesn't have but another... He has only about another 30 minutes with a reserve or so. But he's never corrected it. So, at that time, he wakes up. He'll be a little over 133 miles off course. What am I going to do now?
You don't have time to get back there.
So, now... How do I go direct from here to my destination? Or do I go over here and I don't have time to do that? What if he's out over the water? He's in trouble.
Right.
And there may be some storms and stuff in the way, and you have to go around that. Stay on course. Stay there. And I took off out of here one day, and the Fort Worth, Dallas area is a high-density traffic area. And usually, depending on which direction you're going, and here in this area, the first altitude is going to be 3,000. Everybody knows that. So you get up into traffic and so forth. And then you're going to get a heading vector. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I was going eastbound. So they had me on an easterly heading. And I had filed for 41,000, flight 410. And so they took me out of 11,000 to something like 17,000. So I climbed up to 17. And right in here, the Lord said, "Why didn't that upset you?" What? He said, "You filed for 41,000. I learned a lesson that day.
Wow.
I said, "Well, no, sir." And I began to talk out loud, speak out loud. I said, "Well, no, sir. That controller, I can only hear his voice. I can't see his face." Now, I recognized him because he's the controller in that sector, but I've never met that man. I recognized his voice.
Right, you talked to him a lot.
Yeah, I talked to him before. And I said, "Well, sir, he's looking at the radar, and I can't see the traffic that's up here. He's guiding me to keep me safe." And then the Lord said, "I wish I had other people that would do that." I said, "What?" He said, "I have preachers out trying to sell shoes. I have shoe salesmen that are trying to preach. And neither one of them have any idea what they're doing." He said, "They won't let me guide them."
Wow.
He won't allow me to get them back on course. That's where the correction, it starts with correction. Then direction. How do I get back on course? Well, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 9, it said they refused to listen. They refused to obey. Well, look that up and read it. He didn't just knock them in the head. He began to speak with them and talk with them, and he forgave them and worked them back on course.
That's right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And And in Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about your neck, and when you go, it will lead you, and when you sleep, it'll keep you, and when you awake, it'll talk to you. That's one of my sleep scriptures at night. Praise God. So, it's, now, the protection then, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I taught considerably on this, so you can look that up. But Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 14. God, who at sundry time in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Oh, this is good already.
Mm-hmm.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now we're back into what we learned yesterday. We are joint heirs with him.
That's right.
Appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
That's right.
So now we're back to the name again. glory to God. A more excellent name.
Appointed heir of all these things. I'm one of those. That's me. And
that's me.
I wrote in there, that's me.
That's me. Yes, sir. I did too. I'm right there. That's mine. I'm a joint heir. I wrote right underneath.
That's me.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and again he'll be to me a son. Now, when did that happen? At the cross.
That's right.
He was separated from him.
That's right.
And took our place. And of the angels, he saith, who makes his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all fellows. That's what he said when he raised him from the dead.
That's right.
That's what raised him up. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. So see, he's raising him up out of hell, right?
That's right.
They perish and so forth. Verse 12, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they be changed, you be the same, the years do not fail. Which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That's not the new birth.
No, it's not.
That salvation is the ministry of angels.
Yep.
I thought for a long time it was, but then the more I studied it and the more you get down in, it just continues in that direction. Take the time to listen to God. You got the correction, now the direction. Then in verse 2, chapter 9, chapter 2, verse 9.
Of Hebrews.
In Hebrews. Oh. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Satan was a fallen angel. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God, listen to me,
yes.
should taste death for every man.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, when you die, I'm talking about a believer. When you die, nothing dies but your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up, death is cessation of life. No. No, that's just physical death. He tasted death for all of us. Now, that refers to the five physical senses.
Sure.
So, I can't taste it when my body dies. I can't smell it when my body dies. I can't see it when my body dies. And I can't hear it.
My, my, my.
I just leave. The Apostle Paul called it his departure. I'm ready to depart. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. It's a departure. Now, that means something to me as a pilot. When I get in an airplane, I don't just fly. I depart. Now, there are times that I'd like to just go fly for fun. Mm-hmm. I'd come in all grumpy and glory and say, would you go fly something? So, I'd go fly. But that has a purpose to it. But what is most satisfying is to lay out your trip from A to B and all of the contingencies that are involved. Weather is primary. Equipment, always use the checklist. Don't ever. I met people that didn't use a checklist. One time, Jerry Seville, something happened that a man in the church was going to take him somewhere. So they got in his twin-engine airplane and taxied out on the runway to go. And Jerry stopped him and he said, where's your checklist? He said, oh, I don't use that, Brother Seville. He said, take me back to the ramp. What? I don't fly with anybody that doesn't use a checklist.
Well, that goes to your protection.
Yes, sir. Because Jerry Seville is a pilot and he knows better than that. And guess who sat down on him about checklists? You don't do that. Even if you have it memorized, you read it and you do the item. Now, that'll hold big in your prayer life. Have a prayer checklist. What is the most priority thing I'm praying about one right now? I'm really busy. I have all these different things to do, and it seems like I'm doing all this and getting nothing done. Pick out and take time to do it. The most important task before you. Then tomorrow, do all you can do to accomplish that before you go to number two.
Right.
If you don't get that finished before the day's up, then start on it tomorrow. If that's the most important, then don't mess with number two till you get that done. Then we make number two becomes the most priority. I didn't come up with that. I was reading about a situation that happened back during the Depression, and a man had a very large company. And he talked to a business consultant. Now, you have to remember at the time what it was. And he told him that. Hmm. And he said, how much do I owe you? No. He said, wait, I think it was 30 days or something, and pay me whatever you think it's worth. Now, during the Depression, he sent him a check for $25,000 because he owned the company and all of his department heads, he taught them that. And they all began to practice that. So, everything was getting done ahead of time, and man, that business just took a huge jump forward. He wrote him a check for $25,000. That'd be like $150,000 now or something. Mm-hmm. Because it turned his business around. It'll turn anybody's life around. It'll turn a ministry around. It'll turn a church around. I noticed this one day. I was preaching for a man. It wasn't all that large a church, but wasn't a small church either. Mm-hmm. And we were walking back from pastor's study, and I came in the back of the church, and they took me into his study, and then we had a walk then down to the sanctuary. And Greg, he stopped several times on the way down and picked things up off the floor.
Not a bad thing to do.
Well, I didn't say, but the Lord said, look at him. He doesn't delegate authority. And he's going to wear himself out. He's the janitor in his own mind. And I got thinking about it, wonder why. Well, the Lord answered me to that, too. He doesn't want to spend the money to hire a janitor. Mm-hmm. And it's going to break him down because he's not spending enough time in prayer and seeking God. He's spending too much time on the physical plant itself.
Right.
And he's carrying all the load himself.
Quick story about how to prioritize things. We were doing church announcements, some video announcements, and I kept noticing our announcements get longer and longer. And finally, it's like, at one point, Brother Copeland, it was ridiculous. We were over 5 minutes of church time doing video announcements. We were announcing everything. And a guy talked to me, he said this way, like this orange. He got a glass, and he said, this is the most important thing.
Yes.
And that raspberry right there is the least important thing. And he said, put the most important things in there and then fill in with the small stuff. But you start with the big one.
Yes, you do.
And not the little ones.
You prioritize.
And that's what that man was doing.
You prioritize and then you delegate authority.
That's right.
And there's a lot of pastors that wind up with heart trouble and all kinds of things because they pay way too much attention to things that are not all that important. And spend too much time spending time with anybody that wants anything without delegating any kind of authority. So you've got correction, but now you're going to have direction. Mm-hmm. Because until you get that, you don't have any protection. There, you don't have protections on the angels. You go to bed at night, you don't worry about the neighborhood.
Right.
And get up and check, you know, everything over and over and over and over and over again. No, you say, well, I roll all the care into your hands, Lord.
Yes,
Gloria and I did this back in times. We stayed in some pretty raunchy places. We were in one old hotel one night, at old hotel, old hotel. And the old hotels that it now had air conditioning, but in its prior days, it had louvers in the doors where the air could circulate. That's how old it was.
Wow.
And it was up high. We were speaking for pastor there. And all of a sudden, a fight started down at the Top Hat, right across the street from this hotel. And the fight got outside. And so I picked up the phone, you know, no dial, just the way they answered. And I said, this is Kenneth Copeland, we're in room such and such and such and such. Call the police now. There's a fight going on downstairs. And all of a sudden, the guy, the boom, and I looked. This guy had a pistol, and he's firing the thing off. And his voice is louder than any voice.
Mm.
Well, the police came down. Well, the elevator stopped on our floor. Of course, in the middle of all that, Gloria pulled a cover up here. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and I say, me in our refuge, our fortress, he's our God, I name my trust, and he'll deliver us from the noisome snare of the fowler. I mean, she is going on that 91st Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it settled down. The elevator came up. We heard the elevator open. We heard this guy's voice. I don't know why the police didn't get him. I guess he threw his pistol away. I don't know what. She said, oh, Kenneth, you suppose somebody told him that we were the one that called the police? I said, go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Protection.
Yeah.
That 91st Psalm ought to be the first thing on your heart. And we're out of time again today. Oh, God, thank you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Find something life-giving on KCM.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Brother Copeland has taught us that faith needs corresponding action. That simply means you prove your faith by doing what God tells you to do. Today is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to sow in response to the word that you've heard. The principle of faith and corresponding action can be applied to every area of life, including our finances. For instance, take a look at Luke 6:38, and it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be met back to you again." Choose to agree with what Luke 6:38 says about you in the Word of God. Apply corresponding action by sowing your seed, then call in your harvest. For 55 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have preached the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. And those voices include books, downloads, the Victory Channel, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, magazines, social media, the website, meetings, Eagle Mountain International Church, and Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and we are still growing. Partners, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in sowing into and praying for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Let me pray over your offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word said, "Give, and it shall be given." And our partners are so faithful to give. And now we're coming into agreement with them and believing with them for the harvest, a mighty harvest, a huge, multiplied harvest of increase in their lives to take care of every need that they have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Professor Stevens, for a great 2 weeks again, brother. Thank you, class, for joining us. A lot of material here, but you can find it all at kcm.org. It's been a wonderful time. And until the next time we come together, this is Kenneth Copeland reminding you again that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Yes,
give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To give by text, text the letters KCM to 36609.